when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
This station presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today, we salute you, Mr. Three-Day Weekend Survivor.
Mr. Three-Day Weekend Survivor.
Another long holiday weekend is over, and you regale us with tales of woe. You did too much yard work, too many projects, too much running around, but you didn't get enough rest.
Gee, you never worked that hard around here.
Really, man, we don't care.
And need a break from your whining, yeah.
So the next time the martyr of the mini vacation shows up late and says, I need another long weekend to recover from my long weekend, don't strangle. Instead, salute Mr. Three-Day Weekend Survivor, a real American hero.
Mr. Three-Day Weekend Survivor.
No, it's not Friday yet, you slacker.
Get ready for the best morning show on any kind of radio. Broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio, get ready for Sam and Kara in the morning. Give Sam and Kara a call at 323-203-0815. And now, here are your hosts, Sam and Kara.
Good morning and welcome back. Today's Tuesday, December 28th, and we're live in the studio. After 4 days.
4 days.
Count them. 4 days.
Partly.
Of rest.
Yeah, mine was go, 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 but.
Go, go, go. You didn't get to rest any?
Not as much. Not as much. I mean, I'll be honest. Christmas was a little bit of a bust this year for me.
Mm-hmm.
But that's okay. We're pressing on. And onward and upward.
Okay. Do you want to share that with us?
Well, okay.
Oh, you had a sad Christmas.
It was one of the, you know, here's the thing. I'm a happy girl. I got lots of friends. I'm the cool kid.
Uh-huh.
Not really cool. But I got stuff going on.
Uh-huh.
This year I was on the other side where you're like Christmas blues, you know?
Really?
Yeah, I was just
wow.
like, a lot of friends, most of my friends left except for a couple of them.
Mm-hmm.
And the ones that stayed are like, not as fun. No, I'm just saying they're really good. They're actually really, really good friends. And we did have a good time. We went to go see a movie and we ordered Chinese.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just a little low energy. It just was like, if it had been another day, it had been just a normal fun day. But
mm-hmm.
because it wasn't Christmassy, it doesn't feel homey or anything like that.
I see.
You know
okay.
what I mean?
Yeah, I guess.
You kind of want the homey feeling and the food at home and people over and that thing. But it
right.
did, that didn't happen.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, you should have known. You're not going to have the traditional Christmas, you know. I mean, you don't have your family here. At least you should be grateful you didn't go anywhere because...
Thanks, Sam, for that sympathy right there.
Yeah, no.
What? I'm Jewish. I don't give a shit anyway. I don't care about Christmas. We just do whatever we want anyway. Just get with it. You got a roof over your head.
No, I mean, I'm being sensitive to that, I think. Being understanding. I'm just
saying.
It's
not a big deal. It's one of these things though where you have a lot of things are emphasized in mm-hmm. a time of the year where you're kind of like you're made aware of things you don't have that normally you don't normal realize.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So it's like bombarded, and like I got a text from this guy, a friend of mine. He sent out a mass text, you know, updating us because we just can't wait to hear like everything in his life. Yeah, right.
Right.
Anyway, he sends this. I'm like, I had two headaches, like migraines too, so that was partly why it sucked.
Right.
But so I'm in my bed on Christmas Day, and I have total migraine, and I'm trying to feel better to get up and meet my friends, and I get this text, and it says, "I'm in Delaware right now with my family. It's snowing outside." The puppy is asleep in front of the fireplace. The kids,
just what you wanted to
the
hear.
The kids
huh?
are playing with their presents. What a Christmas. I was like,
yeah,
screw
like,
you.
Fuck you.
Yeah. Anyway.
You don't have to rub it
oh,
in.
Oh,
right?
Man. It was just really funny. Actually, it was really funny. But you know what I did do, which was fun, because some of us have to act out because we don't have family.
Mm-hmm.
I took, like, all the decorations in my house and put them on me.
Mm.
And I look like a real screwed up kind of elf Mrs. Claus.
Yeah.
And I went to the Grove where people were because I needed to be around people.
Obviously, you don't want to do it by yourself.
And the kids loved it.
Really?
I was a success with the kids.
Yeah.
They loved it. They would. There was a couple girls that kept coming up. I had a big red tutu on, and a couple of these little girls came up, and they were like shaking my ruffles on my tutu, and then running away. And the mom was like, "Don't touch her. Stop touching her." And so I would like shake and act like it, but they loved it.
So you went there by yourself, and people were just checking you out?
Yeah, you know, I had to get a little attention. I told you.
Yeah, I know that.
No, I went and saw a movie, and then
going a little bit overboard.
Shut up, mister. I've got a family.
You're like
stuff.
walking Christmas tree.
That's what I do anyway. I would do that anyway. I do that on like a typical Tuesday.
I guess.
In fact, I'll see what I'm doing later. So anyway, it's one of these things where it just was a little on the it was a little bit on the blue side this year. Nothing major. I'm very grateful for everything I do have. Mm-hmm. But you know, it just wasn't super exciting. I did go Christmas Eve to a good friend of mine's house, and she's the one with the baby, they have neighbors that have babies, and they all come over. And, you know, and my other friend and I went. We were invited to go for Christmas Eve dinner, and it was just like, get me the hell out of here.
Really? With
get
all the kids?
Get me out of here.
Yeah.
I don't mind kids. I like kids, and I do think it's a time for children. I think you should let them open presents and have fun, and it should be, like, fun, you know? But there's a way of parenting that some people do where it's like they're ruled by their children.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're in a conversation, kid comes in, they want something, you stop, you help the kid with everything. There's no like, this is adult time, this is let's time to go to sleep now, let's talk with adults. It's just, you go and you don't really even have conversation with the people you want to have conversation
with. Right, exactly. You get distracted, and that's what I don't like about
it. I don't
it.
Like that shit at all. I'm like, you know, I haven't had kids, so I realize this is a limited view, but hopefully when I do have children, you know, there's going to be a time when they know this is parent time, so you guys go watch a movie or go to bed.
Sounds good in theory, but it doesn't.
But do you
quite
let?
Work.
Did you guys let your kids do that?
The kids do that all the time. That's what kids do. You gotta let them be kids. But the problem is with you.
Yeah.
You should not go and get together with people with kids because you don't have kids.
I don't think it's all like that though.
Well, no, sometimes. But I mean, most of the time.
These are really good friends of mine, though. They're really good friends.
I understand that, but it bothers you.
Well, it's not the kids. It's not the kids. It's the fact that the parents don't set boundaries, and they let the kids rule. And you know, my other friends said the same thing. You know, I've been to other people's houses that have children, and it's not necessarily like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And it's not a right or wrong issue. It's just annoys the hell out of me.
I understand.
You know, just
that.
Like, it's like, and it's not, I mean, and Christmas Eve is one thing. It should be about kids, so that's not really that big of a deal, but it's kind of like always like that, where there's always these like jumping on the couch, yelling, I'm trying to talk to so-and-so, and the kid comes and jumps in the lap and wants
right. What are you going to do when they do that? That's what I'm saying.
Oh, you don't know? Do anything. I'm not here to police them. I'm just venting my frustration.
No, I understand that. But all I can say is when you have kids, you'll see for yourself.
Well, there's different parenting techniques, though. Like a
but
friend of mine,
it's
called,
to say.
It is easy to say, but and I acknowledge that, but I'm saying like different parenting techniques. One's called attachment parenting. It's like the kid fucking tells you what they want, when they want, and you jump.
Most kids
screw
are like
that.
That.
Screw that.
Most
yeah, you know what they're
like
going to get on my watch? A backhand.
Okay, we'll see.
I'm going to get a finger to the bedroom and go.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
We'll see. It's easy to say when you don't have kids.
Exactly. Well, I'm saying it since I don't have them.
Kids are difficult. They require a lot of time and attention. And that's just the way it is. Now, whether there's different parenting styles, I agree with you.
It's one of these things where, like, let me clarify just a bit more.
Okay.
Okay? Because it's a little bit more than what you're thinking.
Okay.
It's... we talk through the kids. You come over and everybody just stares at the children and we're supposed to be entertained by kids. Do you get what I'm saying? There's no adult conversation at all.
Mm.
And that happens, you know what I mean? And it's just like, I was, I thought, you know what? Of course I'm not going to say anything because it's, one, it's not my house. Two, they're not my kids. And three, this is to each his own how they want to raise their kids. But I definitely am like, you know what? If they want to hang out, we can go do something outside.
Yeah, absolutely. That's it.
Yeah.
That's it, you know? I mean, even for us, you know, and I have grown kids and everything, but when we go over, we were invited to
How did it go?
To dinner by friends. And it was fun, you know, great food and everything.
Yeah.
But, you know, the kids dominate. They really do because, you know, then the parents are distracted. You can't talk to them.
Mm.
But, you know, I mean, it's not always easy, Kira. I'm telling you, it's easy to look from the side and say...
No, I'm not saying it's easy, but you know what? Some things in life aren't easy, but you got to freaking do it anyway. So that's my 2 cents. So.
Okay, well, I put in my 3 cents. So
well, I put in my 5 cents.
Together we got the fucking nickel.
Okay, well, there you go.
Well, but, you know, I mean, all in all, I think the holiday was nice and... maybe next year you'll plan a little more for it and you'll have
it's
a significant
It's not about planning.
Other.
It's called, you know what, some people have to work and shit.
Yeah,
so
no,
it's not
absolutely.
It's not a bad thing. It's just the way the things go.
Okay.
So there you
so,
go.
But you salvaged it by going to the Grove looking like a Christmas
like
tree.
Like a screwed up elf. No, it wasn't that bad. It just wasn't homey or Christmassy. That's all. Yeah. It wasn't like horrible. It just wasn't exciting.
But it amazes me that you can do that and go there by yourself, you know?
Why?
Because...
You never go watch movies by yourself?
No, movies, yeah, but to dress up like that and go out.
Well, I didn't just do it for that. I was going somewhere that night. I went to my friend's house. I knew the kids would love it. They had a great time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, if somebody dresses up as like Santa Claus or Miss Christmas or something, kids love that shit.
Right, yeah, but to walk around like that, you definitely have balls, you know?
Yeah, well, you knew that about me.
Yeah, you have big balls, too.
Speaking of balls,
yes.
Let's talk about women's. This morning was the morning of camel toes.
Oh, was it?
I was sitting
in
down.
Way?
I was in just straight up way. Camel toes were out this morning.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I went to Starbucks and had my coffee. I looked like I rolled out of bed because I did. And I go sit down and I'm sitting in the lower chair.
Mm-hmm.
So as people are walking in, everybody's kind of crotch, I guess, is in my eye view.
Right.
And I'm just, and I like to people watch. Who doesn't? And there were these two girls, these best friends that were like, I don't know, 40s. I guess they're in their 40s or 30s or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And they both wore these jeans that were like four sizes too small.
Really?
And just, I looked and the lady's obviously butt crack was like very, very, very defined. And then the front, there was like a flap to the side.
Really?
And I was like, and I was like, come, that just gotta hurt, you know? You just, and you don't want people to see the definition of your labia or whatever it's called, you know? And her friend, I looked to the left and I was like, her friend looked like her jeans were tight too. And I looked at it, I was like, her friend's rocking a camel toe too. I'm
really?
Like,
is this? And it's hard to imagine they don't see it. Maybe they just like to do it. Maybe they want to turn.
Well,
people
I've
on.
Had a camel toe in the past too. Let me tell you what usually what a, when it comes to jeans, it's called they're tight. I think I can still fit in them.
Yeah.
I don't want to go up a jean size. And I think it's just, you know, okay, ladies, we just need to, like, you know, either don't wear the jeans, wait till you lose a few pounds,
yeah.
Or, you know what, just go up a size.
Yeah.
Or just wear camel toes and have a, you know, cut yourself. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's nasty. But anyway, my point is it's a little intense.
Yeah. Well, I would play the camel toe song for you, but
we've
you don't really like it.
We've already heard it, heard that song.
Yeah. So what? Many listeners have not.
Oh,
we'll play
so I guess
we're
playing it
chance.
Anyway. Look
nah.
What I started. Look what I started, people.
Well, I mean, now is appropriate a time to play it as any, right?
Okay, go for it.
Okay. The camel toe song.
Very classy.
Yeah, very classy. Very funny. If I can get the fucker to play.
Wow, we're aggressive.
Did you notice? Yeah, did you notice it's like these things don't work when I need them to? I don't understand that. But we'll figure it out somehow.
That's okay.
You think so?
Mm-hmm. It's okay.
Okay.
It's a real classy tune.
Yeah, it is. But of course, it's not working now. So fuck it.
That's fine.
Yeah, so we're facing New Year's Eve and New Year's Day, which should be fun.
What do you have on the books? What are you doing?
Nothing, really. I mean, I'm one that hates to go out to... I mean, parties are great, but to go out to those restaurants that charge you $500 a couple or something, that's not my cup of tea, man.
Okay.
I don't do that. And that's if you can find reservation.
Yeah, that's true.
You know? So, you know, I mean, I'm that kind of person. You know, when everybody travels, when everybody goes out, I'd rather not. I'll do it at a time when nobody's out there.
Yeah.
Because I just don't like to deal with the crowds.
Mm.
So
you don't like dropping $500 on a steak?
No, but I think Jeff's having a party. You know the
oh,
one.
Oh, really?
We,
the crazy
that
Jeff
we
guy?
Went to? Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's always the same parties, the same performers, the same food, the same bartender, and the same people coming over. You know.
It's funny.
But yeah, but he throws pretty good parties.
I had a good time. I had a good time. I met some funny, crazy people. Never stayed in touch with them because they were a little off. But
yeah, so we'll probably go there. For an hour or two.
That'll be good. So that's on New Year's?
New Year's Eve, yes.
Yeah. I'm supposed to hang out with some friends and find out what's going on, but I'm not sure yet.
You don't have to work that night?
I work that morning, so I get off in the afternoon.
How cool.
Thank God, right?
Yeah.
I worked 12 hours yesterday, guys.
You did, huh?
It's like more than I work in a week.
Yeah.
Playing.
Well, that's good for you. It's like exercise, right?
I don't know. It depends on how you look at it.
It helps you train for the real world.
I don't know about all that.
Yeah.
I'm
You're
not sure.
used to working so many hours, huh?
Are you kidding me? I've worked hard my whole life.
Really?
Yeah. Are you kidding me?
I don't know. I guess I am kidding you.
Not at all. Like, probably outworked you manually. I've probably done way more manual labor jobs than you have your whole life.
Is that what you think?
Yeah, that's what I'm going to go with.
Oh, okay.
What do you think?
I'm almost fucking twice your age, and you tell me you managed to do more than I have.
Okay, so what have you done manual
labor? We can tell. When I was a kid, I used to do, like, gardening and shit.
I'm talking like a job. Work at a restaurant.
Those are all jobs. Those were jobs.
Oh, they were jobs. Okay, yeah. So you gardened?
Yeah. And I worked in construction for a little bit. That's before I had my papers, so I couldn't really work. I was doing, like,
construction's shit. A hard one. Okay, I got you on that one.
Yeah, but, I mean, I'm not talking about hard as far as physical work. I'm talking about hard work. I mean, you can be blue-collar and work even harder. It's not about the muscles. It's about what you do. It's about the responsibilities you have.
Well, I'm just saying you don't really know my work ethic because we don't really work together.
No, I don't know your work ethic. That's true.
And, you know, I don't have to defend it, that's for sure. But
why would you have to?
Well, you just said you're probably the most you've ever worked in your life as hard as a worker.
I just asked you, for crying out loud.
No, you didn't. You judged me hardcore, Sam. You're always judging me.
Everybody judges you.
They do. It's
according to you. Yeah. What does it say about yourself that you think everybody judges you?
Shut up. I'm playing.
Insecure?
No, I'm playing. It's called long-form improv. You keep reintroducing a concept, and it gets funnier and funnier.
But it doesn't at all.
No, because you don't get it.
I see. Okay.
you're such a dork. Anyway, we have some new listeners listening that have contacted me.
Oh, how
cool. We've got Bella, and she's actually not in Michigan. She's in Manitoba, Canada. Manitoba, which is Calgary. No, not Calgary. Yeah, it's Calgary, I think.
I don't know.
It's up there. It's really cold. Mm-hmm. We've got some more people from the Midwest as well that are listening. In fact, I have them here. Very cool people.
Yeah. Manitoba is the province.
Oh, it is the province. Okay.
Yes. So it's not a town or a city. It's a province.
Okay. We've got Miss Maggie Jones. Mrs. Maggie Jones. Sing it, Sam. She's from the Midwest.
Really? How
cool,
guys.
She said she just stumbled across our show and she's addicted. So keep that addiction going. It's good for you.
Yes, there you go.
It's good for you. Spread that addiction. I think it'll be good for everyone.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we've got our faithful friends, Chris Brown in Colorado, and then we've got a new Chris, Jean Chris in France.
Oh, really?
And he's really cool because I just sent a shout out to him and he went crazy. So.
Oh, really?
Vive la France! Vive la Jean Chris la France!
But of course.
Yes. So there's our five listeners. Thank you, guys. Just playing, guys.
Yeah. So, Hugh Hefner is getting married. Did you hear that?
What?
Yeah, to a 24-year-old ex-playmate. And this guy's 84 years old.
Nasty.
Now, according to my math, she could be his great-great-granddaughter. Mm-hmm. Think about it.
Okay.
You know, this is like four generations.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, that's some granddaddy issues.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Great-granddaddy. That's the whole thing. And this guy, you know, I salute him. I mean, he's managing to
Why
do what...
Why are you saluting him?
Because every man would like to have his life, you
really?
Know?
I mean,
at 84, to have such a trophy wife on your hand...
Okay, let's look past that stuff for a second. I get it. Right. You're right. As far as on the peripheral, yes, the young, hot girl, and he's got money. It sounds great.
Right.
So let's just put a pin in that for one second.
Okay.
Because I get that that's attractive and that guys are like, oh, you know? But once you get past that...
Uh-huh.
I think this guy has got to be so bored. So bored. Think about it. Mm. He doesn't really have to fight for a woman. He doesn't really know the TV show.
No, I haven't.
It's like there's no real connection with any of them. It's all fabricated. And I mean, that's the way it comes across on TV.
No, I mean, that's fine because I read a book by one of them and by one of the former girlfriends.
Uh-huh.
And essentially, he rarely has sex with these girls. You know, maybe one of them he would that becomes his girlfriend. But all the other ones, it's a business proposition.
Yeah. And I just think that, like, you know, as much as it's fun to have, like, a good meal and have, like, cute stuff and money, let's say all that stuff is great, at the end of the day, you got to have something more. I mean, right. You're going to get bored.
Right.
It's just like you said.
Well,
like,
I don't know that he gets bored, but I'm sure the girls do. And what happens is they constantly want to go out, and he limits them and puts limits.
But think about it. You've even said this. You're like, you love the fact that your wife is in your age bracket because there's so many things that you guys have in common. And there's certain, you said many times, you're like, she's really smart.
Right.
You're like, I couldn't be with a dumb girl.
Right.
Even though you maybe for a second, you're like, I'd want to be with her for a second. But you really don't. Like, you don't really want to be with one, like marry a dumb girl. And you said something about the fact that you guys love the music of the 70s and there's things that you can connect with her on.
Right.
That it keeps you excited.
Right.
Keeps it like there's a connection.
Right.
And those are just little things. I'm sure there's an infinite number of things like that.
Right.
But think about after like a few hours or a few months of being with this girl that, you know, it's got to be lonely, I think.
Yeah. It catches up with you, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think on the outside, yeah, maybe it looks fun for a second, but...
Yeah, there's something to that. Just think of what she stands. I mean, this guy's close to dying. And although I'm sure he's got a will and everything, just think how much she stands to gain when he dies.
You think she'll be in the will?
Oh, yeah. If she's his wife, of course.
Hmm.
Yeah. And, you know, he's managed to do this. You know, he's got money and fame and all that. But like I said... haven't read the book of one of them. It's not all, you know, it's not all roses for the girls, for sure.
Mm-mm.
And they start messing around with the guys that work there and guys from outside the mansion. And Hef is not happy about it. And yeah. But what can I tell you? 24 years old, though. I mean, her whole life is ahead of her. But I think she figured it out pretty good. I mean, look, she was a nobody. Now she's going to be famous.
Well... There you go.
Yeah. See, some women are like that, man. They sell themselves cheap.
Like Anna Nicole. Remember when she was with that dude that was an oil tycoon? And,
he had
3 days left to live, and she married him.
Yeah.
And she's like, here, sign the papers. And she's holding his hand, trying to help him sturdy it out.
Yeah.
And she's like, I love you.
But she never got any of the money, did she?
She got, I think, a little bit, but it wasn't the reflection of what she was told she was going to get. She said that she was going to get.
Yeah.
Yeah,
the family was fighting her hard.
Yeah, and she kept fighting it in courts, you know, going back to try to get the money. And it's just sad because, you know, the way that she ended up dying and her kid.
Yeah. But can you imagine if it was your father and you were waiting for the inheritance and everything? You've waited for it all your life. Then this chick comes in and she's trying to take almost everything that is coming to you. That's pretty... Tough.
I didn't really think of it like that. I thought of it more like, these are his kids. Let's pretend his kids really love him. And they're like, oh, this girl doesn't even love my dad. And she wants everything. And it's just a fake thing, you know?
Right.
I would feel more like, this is, who does she think she is? Like, if you love your dad, more of like a love thing.
Yeah.
But there's probably more like what you said. It's probably more mine.
No, exactly. That's what happens. I mean, people fight over it like vultures.
Yeah, my aunt said when people die and you start going through their things and you start dealing with the will, it just brings out the ugliest sides in people.
Mm-hmm.
It's like somebody's body's not even cold yet and they're like fighting over
it. Not only that, in divorce also, you find out some of the worst. But you're right. I mean, when someone dies and everybody's fighting for the inheritance, it gets pretty ugly sometimes.
Well, there's not going to be a lot of fighting when I die. They'll be like, oh, okay, well. Okay, good run. You had a good run.
Taking it all with me.
No, it just there's not gonna be. I'm just playing. I don't know where I'll be when obviously that happens.
Yeah.
But
you gotta find yourself a Hugh Hefner or something.
No, I don't.
No.
You know I'm smart, Sam.
Yeah. So what? He's probably smart too.
I've got a brain. I need stimulus. Like I don't want to be with. I know I like
stimulated.
Him. Listen, no. He can't, even with all the Viagra pumping through that man.
No, I'm not talking sexually at all.
No, but I like him a little on the older side, but that's taking it too far.
Yeah, it is too far.
I always make a joke. I'm like, I like men in their 40s, but I don't want them to get any older.
Yeah.
And that's a problem. If I start off, like, going forward in a relationship with them, starting in their 40s, they're going to keep getting older.
Right.
So we're going to have a nice 3 years together. Then the diapers come out, then the wheelchair, then the... Yeah. You know, oh, I can't get it up, that kind of thing.
Yeah. You wait till you're 50, you'll see it's not that old.
It's not that old, but 29. That's 20 years older than me.
Yeah. I know, when you're 29, 50 is old, you know. But
it's not that it's old, but it's a huge age difference. And
no,
think
it
about
is,
it.
But it has
nothing
to do with like...
It's kind of downhill from there.
Not really, not at all. Not at all. I mean, especially for men. I mean, you know, it's known that men get better with age for the most part.
Well, what do you think about Viagra?
What do I think about it?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a great invention.
Have you used it?
No, I haven't had to, but if I do, I will.
Yeah?
Yeah.
But have you ever wanted to use it recreationally just to try it out?
No.
No? No, no need?
No, I mean, no need. And but, you know, it's not the... it doesn't solve all your problems. You have to be aroused for it to work.
Yeah.
So it doesn't make you aroused. It just keeps you hard.
Yeah.
Yeah. But no, I mean, I'm curious about it, though.
Mm-hmm. Now, are they
wouldn't mind having like a hard rock, I mean, a rock hard erection, you know? That's not...
Can't you do that naturally?
No, you can, but you know what? As you get older, it's kind of harder. I mean,
see,
your body doesn't
out,
respond.
The truth comes out, see?
Your body doesn't respond. Well, I'm always honest, you know?
Yeah, no, I know. It's not anything to be ashamed of. It's just biology.
Yeah.
So it is...
It's not... I mean, look, when you're like 20 years old, you have a hard-on constantly.
Uh-huh.
When you're 50, it's not like that. You have to work at it a little bit.
Really?
But, you know, I mean, I've been very sexual, so I'm
so let me ask you, so if you're... So for you or whatever, let's say generally men in your age bracket or you or whatever...
Mm-hmm.
So you can really be turned on, but it doesn't necessarily pump down there as much. Or do you have to like?
Well, it's not that automatic anymore. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, okay. You know? So it takes more time for it to.
Not more time. It's just that you have to focus on it. I think.
Really?
I don't know. Look, I mean, people are different. You know.
Yeah, that's true. No, they
right
are.
Now.
They are.
But it's
true.
Not hard for me to get hard at all. You know, it's just that I have to focus on it more.
Uh huh.
And when you're young, yeah, I mean your dick is just hard all the time. That's just the way of the world, you know. All right. So enough about Hef. And so
Hef.
So Elton John and his husband are dads today. They had a boy born on Christmas Day.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Elton John and his... Oh, it's, okay. They took me
yeah, he's got a husband, I guess. I mean, now that you know Elton John is gay, he looks so like a girl, you know?
He's a great artist, though.
Yeah.
So
isn't it funny that he called him Levon, which is one of his songs? They called him Zachary Jackson Levon.
Mm.
Yeah. You know his song?
Yeah, Levon. Yeah, I like it.
Not quite.
Better Levon.
But I mean, these are two gay dudes. You know, it's like very unusual to see that, right?
Yeah.
But
I don't think it's going to be unusual for long, though. I think, I mean, as far as socially speaking.
Yeah, I'm just wondering if this is any different when two women have a child and when two men have a child.
Mm. Well, I mean, I'm pretty divided on it because I think on one hand, love is love, and mm-hmm. providing a child with basic love and acceptance and a roof over their head and food and nourishment, I think that's not gender specific. You know what I mean? But then I do think that there's a difference between a masculine kind of affirmation and love and a difference between feminine affirmation and love.
Right.
And I think that they provide different things to children.
Right.
And I think
You know what they're missing in relationships like that is the mother, you know? And the mother is usually the closest one to the child.
Yeah, I don't think it's replaceable, you know, as I'm saying.
Exactly, a mother
whether
is something
two women,
unique.
Whether it's two women, you're not going to be the father. Whether it's two men, you're not going to be the mother. And I just think that no matter how un-PC that is or not, I just think it's a fact of life. You know,
right.
They could provide love, and there's nothing to, you know, against that. I'm just saying, you know, I think there is something very different. Like, even in like single-family homes where there's just a mom or a dad raising, I mean, I know people on both sides that were grown up raised by either just their father or their mother, and me specifically went through that many times. There's something very much missing, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and then I wonder how it affects the kid as far as their sexual orientation, because that's what they see at home. I wonder if, even if they're not gay, they would end up living a gay lifestyle because that's what they learn at home.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't even know if there's studies out on that or not. I'm sure there are.
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering about.
Yeah.
You know, how many gay couples actually have gay children?
Mm.
That would be interesting to know.
Yeah.
So, you know, and then again, I mean, I'm sure it happens all the time, but when celebrities do it, it's sort of like in the public eye.
Uh-huh.
And then it stimulates discussion.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I guess I never realized they actually got married in 2005, I guess, after 12 years together.
Mm.
Wow. The baby was born in California via a surrogate.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Yep, I thought about selling off some eggs one time.
Yeah.
I was like, they're going fast. I mean, somebody should have some.
Yeah, and you can make a lot of money that way too.
I'm not gonna do it. No, I just I couldn't. It's just the idea that that's my my baby.
Mm-hmm.
My baby's out there somewhere. Somebody else's
baby.
My baby. Somebody's talking about baby. I mean, isn't that weird to think like I give my precious, beautiful eggs?
Because
I think they are. I think everybody's are. You know. And you give them, and then your kids are out there somewhere.
Right.
And I mean, I can't imagine having my kids out there somewhere.
I know.
You know?
Yeah.
I'd be like, just playing. I need my baby back.
Yeah.
Just joking. Already spent the money. Sorry, I'll get take me to court.
Yeah.
You know, need my kid. Give my kid back. Cough
yeah.
him up.
So you wouldn't do it? What for? Like?
No, I couldn't. I just couldn't do it. And I heard it's extremely painful too. But
it is painful. That's what they say.
Yeah, but I'm not. Yeah, anybody's going up into your freaking soul and extracting your offspring. I think there's something really wrong and painful about it. You know?
Yeah, but I'm sure you'd have enough eggs left. You're still young.
Oh, no, I'll be fine, but I mean, you know, they don't just take one. I think they take a handful of them, too. I think they tip that jar over like, ha, 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 we just took two, but we'll tell her we took two, but we really took 5 million of them.
Right. And as a woman, you pretty much are born with as many eggs as you're ever going
to
have,
you start
right?
off with a certain number, and then once you hit puberty, they tick. Like, you lose 1 to 2 a month or something like that.
Really? Like, they pop like popcorn?
Something like that. They get flushed. They get flushed down the drain.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
How interesting life is.
I know, it's very interesting.
Yeah.
You know, thank God gives us a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
We have a lot.
Yeah.
So you got a lot of opportunities, but.
Yeah.
You know, look at the Duggars. Have you ever watched the Duggars? Have you watched the Duggars?
The Duggars? What's the Duggars?
Oh, it's on the Learning Channel or the TLC channel,
oh.
And it's called 19 Kids and Counting, and it's mm-hmm. and I think they're up to 20 now. But it's the Duggars are these this family. I think that they're either fundamentalist Baptist Christian-y type families. I'm sure this is not accurate, or they're Mormon. I'm sure that's not accurate. Don't quote me. But they you know, part of their faith is multiplying and having children.
Right.
And so they do a reality show on these kids.
Mm-hmm.
And the family, and they have 19 or 20 kids now.
Right.
And the lady has birthed all of them.
Mm.
And I'm like, whoa.
Wow, that's a lot of kids.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know. It's not like we're populating the earth anymore, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a little bit.
It's not about that. I just think it's very selfish to do that.
Well, if you know, that's my first impression as well.
Mm-hmm.
But after watching this show, I've watched a little bit of it. They're a very loving family, and they're very close, and they kind of are like a little village, and they love each other, and they take care of one another, and it's very much all about the family. I'm sure there's probably some major consequences, just like there's pros, but there's something really refreshing watching their show, because it's just very, very sweet, and the mom and dad are very loving, you know? They're very loving.
How do they support a family like that financially?
I don't know, but I know that they got a reality show now, so they're doing pretty good, I'm sure. Prior to that, I don't know.
Yeah,
maybe they put them all to work.
Besides, they don't pay you that much, I think. I don't know. For reality shows? Something like that?
Not a bunch, but
I mean,
if you're becoming successful.
Not to cover a 19-child family. Wow.
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't know. Maybe they make some of them, you know, make them go out and, you know.
Yeah.
Go make some soccer balls and we'll sell them somewhere. I don't know.
Yeah.
Sew some beads. I'm just playing. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't get the Mormon thing, that's for sure.
I mean, that's one fertile woman, though, let me tell you.
I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Tell me.
A baby factory. That's what she is.
Yeah, but I just think it's like you spend so much of your life pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard it can be a cool experience, but I just don't think that's, you know, your abs never get flat again, or maybe they do, but for like 2 days and then you're pregnant again, you know.
I know. But you have to ask yourself, what is the purpose of that? What is the point in having so many kids?
I maybe it's just love or life. It's just you just believe in life and you believe it should just keep going. I mean, think about it for 1 second. Beyond money, beyond monetary, beyond the provisional raising side of everything, there is something magnificent about knowing, like, that you have all this life inside of you. As a woman, it's very magnificent.
Right.
Even though it is not happening right now.
But you have to divide yourself 19 times.
Yeah,
you
know? I see what you're saying, but yeah. I think on that side of things, there's something pretty magnificent about it.
Okay.
You know, and I think if you just isolate that, you know.
Right.
Like your body's just like pregnant, 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 give me pregnant, give me pregnant.
Right.
Yeah, I feel like my body wants to be pregnant.
Right.
And I'm saying, hello.
Yeah. Hang in there.
I'm like, no. Yeah, I was.
Your body wants to be pregnant.
I had a boyfriend that was just like, there is no way we're ever taking any chances sexually, because he's like, your body is built. He's like,
to have kids.
He's like, if something slipped up, it would sabotage it and just make it into a baby right away. He's like, your body is like fertile myrtle, so no.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe looks are deceiving. I don't know, but.
So I'm reading a real cool. A thriller right now, but it also touches a lot with science and God and so forth.
Oh, yeah? What's it called?
And it brought up something interesting.
Tell me.
They're saying God is omnipotent, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, so the question comes, can God make a mistake? Can he?
No.
Okay. So he's not omnipotent because there's something he can't do.
Well, there's something like it says in the Bible, like God cannot lie, but then he's omnipotent, right?
Right.
Like he's all powerful, but he cannot lie.
Right.
Well, biblically speaking, is that God, because of his character, if you look at what his character is,
mm-hmm.
he doesn't compromise his character. So if he's all-knowing, all-powerful, all-present, right?
Mm-hmm.
And let's say, you know, he's just, but yet he's merciful. He's forgiving and he's graceful. He does, you know, he's honest. He's truth. He is love. All those wonderful, you know, truthful, honest qualities. God is the author of them. They are him. He possesses them. He owns them. He created them. Right.
Right. But we're talking logic here.
Well,
we're talking logic. You know.
No, but I'm saying
if. But I'm going there.
But it's also saying that if God is truth and he possesses truth and he owns truth and he's the, you know, the whole, what is it called? Patent rights to truth.
Mm-hmm.
How can truth fold on itself? How can truth cave into itself? How can truth deny itself? Do you know what I'm saying?
No, not at
not
all.
At all.
I'm sorry. Yeah. No, I'm not following you.
Like if you're the thing that, you see everything and you bring everything that's dark into the light and you are true, like everything that's right, like you know everything, okay? How then can truth deny itself and then become a lie? Like how does that work? It's complete opposite.
I don't know. I still don't follow you, but that's okay.
That's okay.
You know?
Well, no, I mean, it's a cool question to ask. I mean, I know what you mean. Like how can God not lie if he is, you know, all powerful.
Right.
You know, but because it's because it's compromising his character. He never will compromise his character.
Right.
But that's interesting. Yeah, that made you.
But how do you
that?
Know he's never going to compromise his character? How can you speak for God?
Well, that's what I believe.
Okay, good. So
I mean,
it's about belief. It's
but
not
we've
about,
already established
and,
that.
Like, no, but that's what I'm saying is that people want to go beyond belief because, you know, I mean, the thing is if someone doesn't believe, but they want to explain God, then you need to explain it in logical terms.
Well, no, I mean, I think I did explain it in pretty logical terms. It's just a matter of it's not enough for you. It doesn't make enough sense to you.
But it's not logical. You just said that's what you believe.
Well, I believe
it's
it.
It's about
but,
faith.
Well, absolutely.
That's
There's always an element of faith and belief, right? There's
right.
always an element. But I think that it's a good argument to say something that is pure. How can it, if it's pure, and this is a hypothetical for just to put it in hypothetical so we can argue it on a logical term.
Mm-hmm.
How could something that is pure to its core,
uh-huh.
it knows no wrong, right? It knows no evil, right? Let's say that. It's pure to its core.
Then it's not omnipotent again. That's what I'm saying.
How can it then deny itself? But I don't know if omnipotent means that, you know, it would compromise itself.
That you can do anything that you want and you can do everything. That's what omnipotent is.
Well, then let's say God can do those things but chooses mm-hmm. not to.
No, but logically again.
No, you're saying because first of all we're talking about God, right?
Right.
Okay. And you're saying if God is all powerful,
right.
Okay, then How come he can't do no wrong? Is
right.
that what you're saying?
No. What I'm saying is this, is that if God is omnipotent, then he can make mistakes.
He can make mistakes.
Right.
Well, then let's
but
say
then
that's true.
Yeah, but then he's not omnipotent.
Well, no.
Because he makes mistakes.
No, I thought omnipotent means all powerful, right?
No, it means that he can do anything and everything.
Yes,
that's what it
all
means.
Powerful. He can do anything all
okay.
and everything, right.
Okay.
But what if he...
So he can make a mistake.
Let's
too.
Say he can, but
right.
will he? does
well,
he?
Well, I don't know, but we're talking about
capability,
right? We're talking about how we define it.
We're talking about capability. You're saying omnipotent means he has the capability, the power to do whatever.
Mm-hmm.
To do whatever.
Right.
So does that include mistakes?
Right.
Okay, let's say hypothetically it does.
Mm-hmm.
Does that mean does that mean because he has the capability to, that he will, or that he does?
But it's possible that he could, yes.
If you
believe
that,
because it's within his power.
If you believe that, yeah.
Okay, so that's about belief. That's what we're coming down to.
But I'm asking you, so that's what you believe. So you.
But it's not about belief. It's about trying to reason. That's what I'm saying. That's why I like philosophy and stuff, because it takes away the faith component from it, and it tries to reason.
Well, faith isn't everything. I mean, really.
No, it's not everything, but that's what I'm saying, because when people are faithful, they describe God in faith terms, not in logical terms.
That's not true. We just had a logical conversation about it. It's just not completely, it's not as hardcore, like, touching this table type thing. We're talking in, you know, we're using hypotheticals to kind of reason concepts, you know what I mean? They're concepts. A lot of things involve faith. I mean, maybe not to the same degree, but, you know, there's still a lot of things that involve faith that we accept on a daily basis. I mean, a lot of science involves an element of faith, you know what I mean? Because you can't go back to that specific day or specifically see something that happened or specifically argue it. It's like, it's funny because I had this conversation the other day with my boss at my job. Basically, you can't argue negatives, which is basically it's similar to arguing faith. It's saying if something happened, let's say the assassination of Kennedy, you can go back and prove that it happened, right? Or
right.
You can prove X, Y, and Z. But if something didn't happen,
right, you can't prove that.
You can't prove that
right.
It didn't happen.
Right.
It's like we don't have the capability of proving that something didn't happen.
Right.
You know, which is conspiracy theories, things like that. It's arguing negatives. It's arguing, you know, this, that, and the other based on something that didn't. It never happened, so you can't prove it didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of things in science. There's a lot of things in faith and religion that, you know, we don't have the capability of actually going back to that historical moment or actually having the tools to actually see the certain science of things to prove this, and this. So, yeah, there's a lot of things that across the board involve a level of you've got hardcore evidence, you've got logic, but there's an element where you just have faith. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But that trips a lot of people up. I mean, people think faith is not everyone, but there's an element. People think it's a cop-out or they think faith is, you know.
I'm one of them, actually.
Oh, I know. So yeah. I'm recognizing that. I'm recognizing
it. I think it's something that...
But I'm just getting elements that you have faith in that you maybe don't recognize it as
right.
faith.
There's no, absolutely. You know, but I do think that religion was invented, you know, by people less intelligent than us that had to explain what's going on around them. And I think we still do that. And, you know, I mean, when people justify things that they do based on God and faith, sometimes it's antisocial and
well, I definitely agree. I mean, to be honest, I think that you're right. I think I don't totally think it's always that, but there's definitely a misuse. I mean, I've experienced it. I've seen it. It's if you really believe in something but here's what I'll say is some people's hearts really are, whether or not you believe in God or whatever, Christianity or whatever. Let's put that aside for a second. Or whatever that person believes, sometimes people are really sold out, like they really in their heart believe that, and they get it wrong, or they misuse it, but it's a mistake. And I still, my heart goes out to them because I'm like, you know what, even though I don't agree with them, I see that they're what they're searching for, I see that they made a mistake and they're wrong, but their heart is still searching for what they believe. Mm-hmm. And I commend them for taking a risk, even though it was inaccurate, like even though they did the wrong thing, I commend them for taking a leap of faith. It's kind of a self-righteous thing too, to sit back on the sidelines and go, and I'm not saying you're saying this, but I'm just putting this out there on like different viewpoints, is, oh well, I'm never gonna believe this because of this, or I'm never gonna have faith, or did I only believe in what I can see or touch, taste, and feel. And you know what, it's just kind of like, okay, so you know, you're limited too, because I'm not saying you, but I'm saying it's kind of a limited view, because it's saying I don't ever want to take the risk of being wrong or messing up or being stupid or this, that, and the other. So I'm just going to stay in this place. And I think that, you know, like I watched the documentary Jesus Camp. Have you seen it?
No.
It's the evangelical Southern basically Bible vacation school.
Mm-hmm.
And it shows these like Bible vacation schools where they kind of indoctrinate these kids into Jesus stuff, and they like pump these kids up emotionally, and And you watch it, and as somebody that grew up around this, I mean, I see through it, but I also see some of the beautiful things in it, too. Like, mm-hmm. I can see it's very divided. It's like there's an element where these people really believe what they're saying, and I think their hearts, in some ways, are in the right place. Mm. But what they're doing is they're brainwashing. They're not allowing people to make decisions on their own or choice, and they've got other agendas mixed in with what they really believe politically, this, this, and this. And it's not right. I don't think it's right at all. But I can see the division. I could see how they're not horrible people because they're people of faith, or they're not stupid because they believe this. They're just, it's gotten corrupt, or it's gotten,
but you see, I mean, you're using the word stupid and stuff and self-righteous. I don't think it's about that at all. People are not, because, I mean, for the record, I do believe there's a force up there or out there and that started all this and that keeps the cohesion here. Mm-hmm. And I call that God. But mm-hmm. what I'm saying is all the stuff that's been written and the way people translate and interpret what they're saying, you know, sometimes shows that I think people are looking for something that's not there, and this gives them comfort. But one thing I have to say for religion is, for the most part, it keeps families together, it's got mm-hmm. it offers good values, mm-hmm. and it keeps a society in check. So, you know, as far as that goes, it's fine. But I refuse to be oppressed by religious institutions.
I totally agree in some ways. I mean, I think that religion, you know, I think spirituality and religion can be different.
Right.
And I think that, you know, religion can be very oppressive, and it's about rules, and it's about regulations, and it's about traditions. And, you know, some good things do come out of that, but for the most part, I think that it's not necessarily about God. It's about rituals and systematic order. And right. I think that that is man-made. I think spirituality is the core of who we all are.
Right.
And you can find God, I think, you know, through certain religions, but you have to get past the religion part of it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't believe in Christian religion. I believe in Christian spirituality. Like, I believe in the inner man, who we really are, the depth of us, and God, and the creation, and the oneness. I don't believe in, you know, checking off boxes and being a good girl or a good boy all the time. Like, we're not, anyway, that's totally different. It can get way, way long, drawn out. But my point is I agree with you on the religion element of things. I think it can totally get in the way.
Yeah. Well, at any rate, I mean, this is a book that's a thriller and also make you think quite a bit. It's called The Einstein Enigma.
Oh, really?
And, yeah, it's translated from Portuguese, but it's a really, really cool book if you like Dan Brown type of type of things. Yeah. So anyway, before we leave, I wanted to bring up this thing that I guess this man killed his wife, and he claims it was during a fantasy sex play.
Uh-oh.
Apparently, what they like to do is he would like to hold a gun to his wife's head while they're having sex.
Oh.
And I guess the gun went off. So
that's kind of convenient.
Yeah. Now check this out.
She was really into it, I swear. She was loving it. It was great.
Yeah, what strikes me here is he's 23 and she was 50. What kind of a fucking sex game is that, man? Let him play with women his own age. But, you know, it's crazy, man. It's crazy. A gunshot wound to the head. Yeah.
Okay, so what do you think? Do you think somebody's ever done that, or?
I don't know, man. I don't know, but I still would call it murder, or maybe not murder, but maybe third degree or something.
But how do you even, like, that's kind of what we're talking about. How do you argue, or how do you prove that that was the situation?
Yeah, well, even if you do, I don't think you're going to get off easy. You know, I mean, you're the one holding the gun, for crying out loud. You're responsible for it not to be loaded, wouldn't you say?
My gosh, that's intense.
Yeah, I
know.
Yeah,
that's an intense thing. Wow. Make sure to
Yeah, check your gun before you point it at your wife's head.
Yeah, I'm gonna put that on my never to do list. Never to do list. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not interested.
And finally, Natalie Portman is pregnant and engaged.
Oh my gosh, with who? Who's the daddy?
Yes, she's 29 years old, a French-born dancer who is 33. I can't even pronounce his name. Millepied or something. I don't know what the hell.
I can see her with a French dude.
So she found a dancer. Maybe that was Maybe they were together. Yeah, he was the choreographer in the movie, obviously.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Anybody who thinks they don't, that actors don't hook up during movies, look at Angelina.
I don't think
Brad.
I don't think people do think that they don't.
Yeah.
You know?
No, because, I mean, sometimes they'll say, oh, you know, I mean, this couple is married. Well, are they jealous of each other in love scenes? And they're like, oh, well, that's just work and there's no feelings and all that. But I think that's bullshit. When you work closely with someone, especially in intimate scenes and stuff.
And this may be hypocritical of me and I'll own it, but I do not want to marry an actor man who, like, does that kind of stuff. He better be the funny, he better be the funny bastard that only deals with other men and stuff.
I see, okay.
I can't handle it personally.
You've got to be the star. In the family.
Thank you. Thank you. Well put, Sam. Did y'all get that? Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. And on that note, Kira.
Stop mocking me. Well, we're getting... Okay.
All right, everybody. Thank you all for joining us. Have a great week before New Year's. And I actually like this week, you know, between Christmas and New Year's.
Oh, you do? Why?
Yeah, because everybody takes it easy, you know?
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
So thank you all for joining us. We'll be back here tomorrow.
Been listening to Sam and Kara in the Morning, which airs every weekday from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time and originates from the Los Angeles Talk Radio studios. For questions regarding the show or to learn more about sponsorship opportunities, please direct all correspondents to info@latalkradio.com. Sam and Kara in the Morning is a production of LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.